In your Bibles today, if you will, please, Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. God forbid that we would get too far away from the resurrection today. It's such an important part. If Jesus didn't get up out of the grave, everything else crashes. Amen. Everything else crashes if Jesus didn't get out of the grave. But oh, the victories that came when he got out of the grave, and they're still coming. They're still coming. If you know Jesus Christ, you are in line for miracle after miracle after miracle if you'll just commit your life to him. And I'm not preaching any kind of a prosperity gospel, because we know that many people have served the Lord vigorously and faithfully and never had more than two nickels to rub together. But they had peace that passes all understanding, and they had more of value in rest and comfort than what the entire world could give them just because they served the Lord. But I do believe this. I do believe that the Lord Jesus will help you pay your electric bill. He'll help you take care of your car insurance. He'll take care of those things if you'll labor with him and work with him and trust him. I trust today that you'll receive some blessings from the preaching of the Word of God, and I do so want to be a help to you. In preparation for today's message, I began early last week to read the Easter story, well, the resurrection story in the four different Gospels. And boy, what a treat. It's kind of difficult sometimes to figure out where they all plug in together. It seems like there's some overrides in some places, but it all makes sense when you get it lined out, and it's the Word of God, and he tells us in one place what we need to hear in that place and how it associates with everything else, and certainly I'm glad of that. But as I was reading through there, I began to realize that the ladies that we're going to be talking about here in a little bit came upon a situation, a problem, and they voiced the problem. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then they looked over, and the problem had already been taken care of. And so the title of the message today is Problem Solved. Problem Solved. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 16, the Gospel of Mark. The Bible says, and when the Sabbath was passed, excuse me just a minute, seemed like the Lord just said maybe we ought to stand up. So I don't know if somebody's extra tired or what, but let's stand up for the reading of God's Word this morning. And when we're finished reading the first 13 verses or 11 verses, we'll let you sit back down. Okay, thank you. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And when they were, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. We're going to stop with our reading right there today. Father, help us today to be a blessing to people. They could be anywhere, Lord. They don't have to be here today, but they've chosen to come. And I pray, Lord, that they'd receive a blessing from the preaching of the Word of God. The singing has been good. It's been stirring. It's reminded us of some things. And we're just so happy in Christ Jesus today. It's been a good day already. Help me not to spoil it. Help me not to get in the way of what you're wanting to do today. We pray for each one here. And each one that's watching on live stream today, Lord, if there are those watching or are those here that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray they'd understand how much he loves them, how much he cares, and how much they need him. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me first. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I guess you probably realize as we read down through there the problem that had come up. In verses 3 and 4, the real problem was that the ladies had a desire to serve the Lord, but something stood in their way. And so the Bible tells us that they were talking about that on their way to anoint the body of Jesus. This stone was there. They knew it was there. And the Bible tells us that it was very great. And I tried in my mind to imagine what this stone might have looked like. I know a lot of times you see the tomb that's depicted in pictures and so forth, and sometimes it looks about like a cinder block building almost. It just doesn't look like the Bible talks about it being. But the Bible says it was made out of a rock. Now, I'm not the greatest English teacher in the world or English student, but A usually means one. And I believe that this tomb was built out of a huge rock, maybe even what we would call a mountain of rock. And Joseph of Arimathea had it carved out or carved it out himself. And probably the opening of it was smaller than the inner part of it. The inner part of it was long enough that one time there were two angels and two men in there at the same time. Another time there were two angels and two ladies in there at the same time. The opening probably would have been a little bit smaller than that. But people who study those things tell us that the stone that was in place there was probably 4 to 6 feet high, at least a foot thick, and weighed somewhere between a ton and 2 ton, or for other folk, for 2,000 pounds to 4,000 pounds. And so I can understand how they thought this is going to be impossible. But we feel like the Lord would have us to go. We feel like the Lord would have us to anoint the body of Jesus. In some way, God's just going to have to take care of all this. And so we find that they went on their way, and they find this stone there and rolled out of the way, and God had already met it. God had already taken care of it. And I believe we find this truth. If we really want to serve the Lord, we're not just flapping our jaws. We're not just gumming an idea. But if we really from our hearts want to serve the Lord, no matter what our physical conditions are, no matter what our mental conditions are, no matter what our financial conditions are, no matter where we're living, no matter how desolate of a place we're living in, when we determine we are going to serve the Lord Jesus, God will make a way. Problem will be solved. Just like it was here. I remember when Philip was preaching a great revival in the book of Acts, and God told him to leave there and go out in the wilderness. And here's a man coming home from Jerusalem. He'd been up to Jerusalem to worship, and he was coming home more confused than he was when he went up there. And God told him to go and told Philip, go and join yourself to that chariot, and he did. And the Bible says that he opened the scriptures and began to teach out of the scriptures from the book of Isaiah. The man said, who is this man talking about, himself or some other man? And Jesus began to preach to him Jesus. And we find here two men in a very unlikely place. One of them wanted to serve the Lord. One of them wanted to know about the Lord. And some way they just got together. Promise taken care of. Promise taken care of. Problems taken care of. The next thing I see is in verse number 9 here. The Bible says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Now, evidently, some of the ladies that arrived there with him had already left, because it tells us in verse number 1 that she arrived with several other people. But now in verse number 9, it says that on that day he appeared to her first. And so they had gone and they'd seen the empty tomb, but evidently she had gotten there earlier or something. And when Jesus came out of the tomb, or shortly after he came out of the tomb, he saw her first. And I don't understand all that, but I know there's a lot of different Marys in the Bible, and I thought that for a long time, but I did some searching, and it seems like there were 19 times the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of Jesus, is mentioned. Mary the sister of Martha is mentioned 11 times. Mary the mother of James is mentioned 9 times. Mary the mother of John Mark is mentioned once. And Mary of Rome is mentioned once. And Mary Magdalene is mentioned 13 times. And so some Mary is mentioned 54 times in your New Testament. And this is the lady that Jesus, it tells us in our text, that Jesus had cast 7 devils out of. And we find that she was, I believe that 7 is the number of perfection. And I believe that this lady, before she met Christ Jesus, was perfect wickedness. I don't think that there's a sin that you can think of. I don't think that there's a moral crime that you can concocture that this woman isn't guilty of. We talk to people all the time that have struggles with their past and struggles with things that happened and things that happened to them and things that they're a part of. And we talk with people that have those struggles. If anyone could have had that struggle, it would have been Mary Magdalene. Perfect wickedness. And then we'd ask ourselves the question, can such a one really be forgiven? You know, we think of the horrors of war and crime, war crimes that are committed, and we say, can such a one really, really be forgiven? But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is willing to forgive whosoever will come to the Father by Him. Now, John says, as she stood outside this tomb, that she saw a man, and she thought it was the gardener, and so she says, tell me where thou hast laid him. And Jesus, and I can almost hear him whisper her name as he says, Mary. And she recognized his name. Evidently, she had heard him speak enough that she recognized his name. And when he says, Mary, she turned around and said, Rabboni, which is master. I'm your servant. And she turned and talked to her. No matter what you are before, you're special after you're saved. Once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your history is gone. Your sin is forgiven. You have a brand new life ahead of you. All things are passed away. You're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so as Mary stood there wondering where they had done, what had they done to the Lord, with the Lord? And Jesus says, Mary, and he could have just as well said, problem solved. Problem solved. But you know, Mary still had a problem. She still had a problem. Because in the Gospel of John in chapter number 20, when we're reading about Mary meeting Jesus, she evidently had advanced towards him in such a way that he said to her these words, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And I'm sure, I don't know if she heard those last words, I've not yet ascended to my Father, but I'm sure that Mary could have heard those first words, touch me not. And if she did, it must have gone through her like a bullet. It must have, she could have, I don't know about this, she could have, though, very easily thought, is he rejecting me? Is he belittling me? Is there some doubt? Is there something wrong? Have I done something wrong? But here's a thought today. The blood was of none effect until it was applied where it was supposed to be applied. The lambs all running out there, maybe thousands of them. I spoke to a man from Romania the other day, and I told him that's the only country I've ever been in where I've seen him herding 1,000 head of geese at one time. Herding geese like sheep. But you know those sheep that are out there on the hills of Bethlehem and so forth and Judea. Those sheep, the blood that's in them was of no avail until it was drawn from those lambs and it was applied where it was supposed to be applied. It had to be because it was no good. With the Passover, they were told to to kill the lamb, catch the blood in a basin, come and with hyssop apply it to the doorpost and to the lintel of the door of their house. And until it was applied, listen, they could have caught the blood in a bowl, brought it in and set it on the kitchen table, not put it on the post and the lintel, and everyone there would have died. The son, the oldest child of everyone, would have died when the Passover angel came through because the blood hadn't been applied at the right place. And then we find in the book of Leviticus, the Bible tells us that the blood had to be drawn and then it had to be placed on the mercy seat. Until it was on the mercy seat, it was of no good. It would help no sinner on earth until it was on the mercy seat. And so when Mary came out of that tomb, or when Jesus came out of that tomb, or wherever he came from, when Mary saw him there in the early morning and said, "Touch me not," he's saying to her, "I've not yet ascended to my Father." He said, "I've got to do something before all this stuff ties together. There's no end pieces loose. I have to not just be raised from the dead, but I have to ascend to my Father. I have to get the blood applied where it's supposed to be." The blood of Jesus, as powerful as it was and as powerful as it is, had to be applied to the mercy seat. And the mercy seat wasn't there then. The mercy seat was not there then. And so we find that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 9, and remember, these accounts of Easter are not chronologically in order, so we find that this happened later. It's recorded before Mark is, but it actually happened after the Gospel of Mark. In verse number 9 of chapter 28, the Bible said that they went to tell his disciples, they're going to tell them that Jesus is alive, "Behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'All hail,' and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." Sometime between John chapter 20 and verse number 17 and Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 9, Jesus had gone to heaven and had placed the blood on the mercy seat in glory. Problem solved. Problem solved. I'm sure Mary was relieved when she heard all those things happening. Take your Bible now and go to Luke's account of this same happening. Luke chapter number 24. I have a real problem as a pastor trying to figure out where to start reading a portion of Scripture. It seems like if you leave that out, it would leave something important out, or Jesus wouldn't have put it in there. But you can't all the time read all the verses you'd like to read. But we're going to start reading in about verse number 28. Verse number 13, I'm sorry. Verse number 13. And here we're going to find that on the day that Jesus rose from the grave, later on in the day, there's two men that are walking on the road to Emmaus. Let's read the story. The Bible said, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, 'What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad?' And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, 'Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days?' And he said unto them, 'What things?' And they said unto him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and besides this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of the men which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he, Jesus, said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Jerusalem and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, listen to me today. Jesus is the living Word of God. He's God in human flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the living Word of God. Amen. You can't love the Lord Jesus without loving this book. You cannot accept the Lord Jesus in his entirety without believing this book. It's absolutely essential. It's a problem that some people have because they want to believe Jesus, they want to love Jesus, but they have no time for the Bible, they have no respect for the Bible, they have no honor for the Bible. We need to understand that Jesus is the Word of God. And when we stand before him, it'll be the Word of God that judges us. As lost people, if you stand before the Lord 1,000 years after saved people do, it'll be the Word of God that judges you. We've had the Bible, we've made light of the Bible, we've done little with the Bible, we've cast the Bible aside, we use it for a lot of other things besides reading and understanding the things of God from it. But the Bible says that the living Word of God was speaking to these two men, and the thing that he's going to use to talk to these men about is the very Word of God. And so he begins with Moses and all the prophets, and the Bible says that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You talk about Bible college. You talk about biblical counseling. There it is, the Word of God, teaching the Word of God to people that have all kinds of problems. But with the Word of God, Jesus himself tells them the answer to all their frustrations, all their disappointments, all their heartaches, their concerns, their doubts, their fears. He takes the Word of God and verbally opens it up and says, This is who I am. And he showed them all things concerning him in the Scriptures. You say, today it doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter what your problem is. It can be best taken care of by surrendering your will to the will of God. If you're here today or you're watching today and you're not saved, it is God's will that you get saved. It is God's will that you be born again. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we need to understand that. That's your greatest need. That's your greatest problem if you're lost. Your greatest problem is you need Jesus. And could I say he's available? He's available to whomsoever will. And today, if your problem is you're saved, but you're kind of mixed up as to what you should do and where you should do it and how you should do it, and listen, it's all right here in the Word of God. It's all right here. And we could actually honestly say, with this, problem solved. But you have to read it. And then the Bible says we are to be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only. And so today, you know, you read through all the scriptures about Jesus. You find him later on. The disciples have met in a room above. The doors are all locked for fear of the Jews outside. And Jesus comes in through the wall.
he comes in through the wall and speaks to them, peace, be still. And I'm here to tell you, you could have said that day, problem solved. 8 days later, when they meet in the same place again and Thomas is there that day, Jesus meets with them again, problem solved. There's not a problem you have that Jesus doesn't have the best opportunity, the best possibility of meeting that need. Now, he may not meet it like you want it met, but he'll meet it the right way, and he'll take care of it, and he'll take care of it in such a supernatural way. When those ladies looked over and saw that stone moved, I don't imagine any of them said, well, now let's figure out how this happened. Did they get a John Deere tractor up here and move that thing? They get a backhoe or a crane? How'd that? Listen, problem solved. Quit trying to let the devil use anything he can to discourage you, to set you aside and tell you that God can't use you. Mary Magdalene, for 2,000 years, has been witnessing to the fact that God saves from the uttermost to the guttermost, and that he's willing to forgive all those that come to him by Christ Jesus. What's your problem today? Really, really, what's your problem? The truth is, if we give it to Jesus, he's got the problem and we don't. Won't you try that today? Won't you try that? Let's look to the Lord in prayer.